Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network. You can find all of our podcasts at www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. How is it? Well, today's the day. Today is the day. I hope everyone went out and voted. I did this morning, got up early, sprung out of bed, boing, went down. Huge line. I was actually a little shocked. And I can tell you that for the last 3 or 4, maybe 5 weeks, I've kind of had one person on my mind that I kind of wanted to vote for. I can't really... It's hard for me to explain why. But I voted for the other person this morning. That's... You know... I particularly didn't care much for either one, quite honestly. What was it? The lesser of the two evils. But I had to really make a choice, and I'm not going to go into too many reasons, the reasons why, because it's my personal choice, just like everybody else's personal choice. Just hope everyone went out and voted. What is today? Tuesday, the 3rd. So I shared last week, and I'm kind of through it. My mom passed away. You know, great lady. I've made that clear. Loved her very much. Made that clear. You know, I'm processing that. I talked a little bit earlier, I think, through this whole process, is that I felt like my mom pretty much passed away 6 months ago. So... you know, got that the morning and kind of, you know, went through, because I felt like she was going to pass away at any minute. So I just kept thinking, oh my God, she's going to pass away. But it is a big, I hate to use the word relief. I think if anybody has dealt with a parent who's gotten older and, isn't the person that you remember, and they're just kind of here when they finally do pass, it is a bittersweet, you know. I've been saying it was the 28th was her birthday, the day she was reborn, free from the body that she had known for so long. And yeah. So long, Mom.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on.
Think the yeah, sometimes you walk through that stuff and you find yourself just like, whoa, that was heavy duty. A lot of great things have been going on besides that. The so I don't know if anybody out there has Apple TV. If you do, there's a show that is out called Ted Lasso. And the premise of the show is basically a European soccer team owned by a couple who gets divorced. The female side of the couple ends up owning the team, and then she hires a coach from America named Ted Lasso. What a fucking great show. I don't know if anybody has seen it. If you have, let me know. If you haven't, go check it out. That is if you have Apple TV. It's just such a positive message. And it's just really brought me a lot of joy, I guess would be a great word. It was just a perfect show to watch during this period of going through this with my mom. And going through everything that we're going through right now. Or the inconveniences we are going through right now. Check it out. Awesome show. I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't want to give anything away. But it's just a great freaking show. And just really love it. And that song is You'll Never Walk Alone. It's Marcus Mumford did a lot of the music for this series. And so you'll hear, I was actually going through the music from Ted Lasso. And there was a lot of, there's like Mumford & Sons, Marcus Mumford, a whole bunch of stuff. So not only is it a great show, great soundtrack on Spotify. Go check it out. The other thing that's been going on is that so I wasn't going to do a podcast. I was going to take a little break. I was a little bit into, my mom was, you know, that whole thing was just kind of at the top, at the surface. And I just thought I would give it a break and, you know, find my space and then, you know, come back and start chatting. But like today I was going to come, you know, I got up early this morning. I went and voted, stood in line with a guy that, which is weird because every year, every time that I've ever voted, I've always voted a different fire hall. And so yesterday I'm like, I better check and see where I'm registered to vote at. And Facebook, I think it was the Facebook app, which did a great job letting me know, typed in my address, told me exactly where I was supposed to go. I was like, geez, that's not the one I usually go to, but I guess I'll just go. And then I'm like, did I register? Am I a registered voter? And it's weird when it comes time to vote, you start second guessing everything, or I start second guessing everything. So I went down to the one that they told me that I was registered at, waited in line for probably definitely a half an hour, maybe longer. And that doesn't sound like a long time, but it felt like a long wait. I mean, it was fine. Didn't have anything else to do, but stood, you know, waited in line, finally got in, and the guy in front of me went to the lady, because you walk in, and then they direct you over to a table, and then the people ask you for your driver's license or ID. They scan it, and then it brings it up, and they told him, oh, you need to be at the other fire hall, the fire hall that I usually go to. And I was like, God damn, that would be super annoying to have waited, because we waited together. It was cold out, too. I mean, it wasn't freezing, but it was definitely chilly. I was bundled up. And then to be told you have to go to another polling station, I don't know. I don't know if I'd have had time this morning to do that. I might have had to come back this afternoon. I definitely wanted to vote. Definitely. And so I took care of that. And then I went and picked up my daughter, Teresa, because there's no school, and brought her to the salon this morning. And I was like, I'm not podcasting. I'm just going to take a break. You know, I don't want to make a week of podcasting about my mom passing away. My buddy Matt used to always say, you get 2 days, man. After that, you're making it about yourself. So I didn't want to do that. She was a great lady, but, you know, enough said. But then my first client, I had a client this morning. And then, so my first client was down for color, for highlights or something. It's like an hour and a half appointment. They came in and they said, I just want to get a haircut. I was like, oh, it took like a half an hour. So then I had like an hour on my book open up. And then my next one after that, who was supposed to be here at 12, it's 12:30 now, she's supposed to be here at 12, she doesn't show up. I call her, she's like, oh, I left you a text. I'm like, I didn't get any text. So I had to move her appointment. So I'm like, when my first appointment changed, I was like, well, maybe I'll do a podcast. And I go, nah, not podcasting. Not making this about my mom. Well, when the next one canceled, I'm like, I'm going to go do a podcast. Because honestly, the first thing that starts happening to me when I have people to cancel or change appointments, and luckily, the first one was just a change of what they wanted. And then the second one said they had texted me, and then she rescheduled, so I moved her appointment to next week. So I still have the client. But these are great opportunities for me to really dive into some negative shit. I've had this hair salon for 10 years. 10 years of, like, the first day of no clients. You know, when I opened the salon, I had left a different local salon. So some of my clients followed me, but not all of them. And so to be in that place in the beginning, which was full of fear, 10 years later, I have a couple clients that don't have to reschedule. And all of a sudden, the fear starts coming into me like, uh-oh, I'm not good enough. I remember walking with my buddy Matt. He was going, and I've told this story before. And he's like, come over. And I go, all right. So I rode over, and he's like, let's go for a walk. And we don't walk. We didn't walk. So we went for a walk, and he says, you know, there's days I just feel like they're going to figure out that I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And this is the day of the night that he was receiving the James Beard Award. Humanitarian of the Year, James Beard Humanitarian of the Year Award. That night he was receiving it in New York City. And he's telling me 7 hours, 6 hours prior, I feel like there's days they're just going to figure out I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm like, Matt, bro. But I do the same thing. I've had this place for 10 years, and one morning two people move appointments, and I feel like I'm going to lose my business. It's like I'm already programmed to go to the most extreme failure that there is. And 10 years ago, I would have fallen a victim to these thoughts. 5 years ago, you know, I was learning. Today, I still get a sniff of it, but the reality is I have to start going through my list. The proof. And the fact is, I've had this salon 10 years. I've had this happen many times. And like my buddy Matt always used to say, man, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it will all work out. So instead of like stressing about it and worrying about it, I thought maybe this is a sign for me to come do a podcast and chat and share that, you know, everything in my life is great. It could not be any better. And I still have this habit of referring to these moments of fear, like I'm going to fail. Very strange. Very strange. But you know what? It's all good. I have not smoked any crack, thank God. And I'm not paying for a hooker. So I'm guessing Matt's right. It will work out. And it has, and it always does, or I wouldn't be here 10 years later. Getting ready to think about renewing my lease. I don't know about anybody else out there, but I'm in like this fucked up place. And it's all about COVID. It's all about the election. And I've just kind of lost my spark. I mean, I'm not like bedridden over it, but you know, the salon used to be my safe place, my fun spot. You know, come and socialize with my clients, have fun, listen to music, drink coffee, do hair, make people happy, be praised. Great job. Not as important. But this whole thing, the masks and the election, and you know, it's taking the piss right out of everything. And so I'm having to deal with that too. And I'm having to call it out for what it is. It starts to cut that fear in half. very cool thing happened yesterday, Monday. So, if you know me, or if I mentioned it, I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan. I love the band Pearl Jam. I love the singer Eddie Vedder. I love the whole band. But I'm a big fan of Eddie Vedder. It doesn't get Eddie Vedder than this. My buddy Carlos, his wife texts me and she's like, Eddie Vedder is on Howard Stern. He sounds great. And I'm like, Eddie Vedder? So I thought maybe this is a character that Howard Stern had created to, you know, maybe to make fun of, or, you know, he makes other characters. So I was like, I don't feel like listening to that. And then my buddy Carlos is like, Eddie Vedder is on Howard Stern. And I'm like, oh my God. And if anybody knows who Eddie Vedder is, or have listened to an Eddie Vedder interview, he can be a little, I don't know, elusive. You say, Eddie, what do you think of this? He's like, oh, I remember back in the day, you know, and he goes all around the subject, but doesn't quite answer it. So when someone told me that he was on Howard Stern, I was like, eh, not that excited. Well, I ended up having to go to the DMV yesterday, so I was able to listen to Howard Stern on my ride out there and listen to the Eddie Vedder interview with Howard Stern. What a great interview. If you like Eddie, if you like Pearl Jam, go find this interview. You can probably find it on YouTube. I saw one small clip of it. A video clip of the interview with Howard Stern and Eddie Vedder. So the good thing is they do have the video interview of this. So I'm sure that Howard will release it on his YouTube channel eventually. But what a great interview. Just awesome. Eddie Vedder was just, you know, he bled it all out. He shared all his thoughts. You know, there's a lot of history about his father. You know, there's a song called Alive. And if you've ever heard the song, you know, it talks about, you know, he was, his real father was dying. And his adoptive father, which his mom had told him was his real father, they let him know, oh, by the way, I'm not your real dad, and your real father is over here dying. And just that scenario is a pretty heavy little trip, man. But, and I've heard other interviews where he doesn't really talk about it too much. But the one thing that it sounded like Eddie Vedder was going through, and it sounds like the same thing I'm kind of going through, and a lot of, I think, people are going through, is that, you know, I'm 52. I think he's probably in his later 50s. You know, you start realizing that, you know, all these things that we do as a younger person are really for nothing. You know, not talking to people, you know, and my life and his lives are black and white. I don't know what it's like to, what it would be like to be Eddie Vedder in the world. I'm sure, you know, there, everybody's coming at you. But he talked about how in the past he had done interviews and not said things because he thought he was protecting things. And in the end, he realized he just sounded like an asshole. And I thought it was like really funny, and I thought it was like really honest. You know, our life seems to be constantly changing, and our attitude about it, for me, I know, is constantly changing. You know, I spent the first half of my life wondering if I'm going to be able to get by. And then you get halfway home, so to speak, 50, farther than halfway, really, unless you're living to 100, which I hope I do not. But you start realizing, God, that's petty. Very petty. So it was great to listen to that interview with him. It was like 3 hours, and it just was so good. And he sang and you know, talked about, you know, the Eddie Vedder that I grew up with, and now the Eddie Vedder who has like children, and you know, Eddie was never into like a social media. He wasn't really into anything. It was hard to get to learn things about him. And now his kids are on Instagram, and his wife is on Instagram, so he's now on Instagram. So we're starting to see this, you know, he's starting to lower the wall. and starting to see some fun sides of him. And the interview was really great because he laughed and talked about a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to Howard Stern. I mean, Howard Stern is a great interviewer. And it was just really good. If you can find it, if you care, go check it out. You know, I love Pearl Jam. Check out our In Too Deep podcast if you like Pearl Jam and you like podcasts. Carlos and I do I think it's really fun podcast on the band and our lives. And it's actually kind of becoming pretty popular in the Pearl Jam community. It's actually really growing. So we're having a lot of fun with that. So that was cool. You know, I felt like I thought I was a little bit lost, if I can say that. You know, the other thing that kind of this big transition is with my, you know, with my mom, is that probably, and I think I mentioned this the other day, but it, you know, it's all about surrender, and I always say that, and it really is. You know, now that my mom's gone, my real responsibility now is to take care of my father. And there was a place and there was a time when my father and I were not good. I mean, we weren't awful, but we weren't very good. Depending on who's right and who's wrong and yada, yada, yada. And at some point I had to surrender. And I mentioned it, that we put a line in the sand and you know, it's nice to be a sober adult who is available for his elderly parents and now parent. That living amends. It's crazy, you know. So that's another thing to be positive about today on this wonderful election day. I'm wondering what's going to happen, you know, after the election. Wonder who's going to win. Wonder what it's going to be like. You know, we've heard so much, oh, this is all about politics. And, you know, the right wants you to get rid of masks. And the left wants you to believe that it's, you know, we're all going to die if our masks come off. And I'm like, I don't really fall into either one of those categories. But I am interested to see if this is political. I mean, I know that people are actually getting sick. I know it. We'll have to see. Yeah, not so bad so far. I really wasn't going to do a podcast. Let's read what is the Daily Reflections. Let's hear what that has to say. What have I done here? How's everybody? How's their sobriety going? You going crazy? Feel like picking up? I don't. Thank God. Let's see what this says. For today. Yeah, a lot of people looking at Daily Reflections. Takes a long time to load. All right, here we go. I'm excited. Ooh, it's a good one. November 3rd, focusing and listening. There is a direct linkage among self-examination, meditation, and prayer taken separately. These practices can bring much relief and benefit. I'm going to read that again. There is a direct linkage among self-examination, meditation, and prayer. Taken separately, these practices can bring much relief and benefit. I mean, all those are surrendering, right? Surrendering. I mean, if you're doing a self-examination, you're surrender to the idea that there's an issue that needs to be looked for. Meditation, exactly, and prayer. I mean, prayer is the ultimate surrender to me. If I do my self-examination first, then surely all I'll have... excuse me. Let's try that again, sorry. If I do my self-examination first, then surely I'll have enough humility to pray and meditate, because I'll see and feel my need for them. Some wish to begin and end with prayer, leaving the self-examination and the meditation to take place in between, whereas others start with meditation, listening for advice from God about their still hidden and unacknowledged defects. Still others engage in written and verbal work on their defects, ending with a prayer of praise and thanksgiving. These three, self-examination, meditation, and prayer, form a circle. Without a beginning or an end, no matter where or how I start, I eventually arrive at my destination, a better life. Oh, that's very good. See, I mean, to me, for me, a relationship with the higher power, a relationship with God, is a byproduct of practicing those three things. When I first came into the program, they talked about a spiritual awakening, and I searched and searched and searched. I prayed. I've been struggling with prayer all my life. Praying to God for things that God wasn't going to give me. Because I was a self-centered asshole. Dear God, please give me this. Please save me from that. I mean, how can that benefit me? You know, I talked to my, you know, it's the same kind of thing. When my dad and when my mom had to go into a home and my dad had to pay for it out of pocket, he used to say, I have to do this and I have to do that. That's just like praying to God for things. It doesn't happen. It's an inconvenience. I said, Dad, you don't have to do this. You get to. You get to pay for this. It's a gift. And as soon as he started thinking of it that way, it changed his whole attitude. When you get to, it becomes kind of a spiritual thing. When you have to, it becomes an inconvenience or a self kind of thing. So, I agree. You know, this is... You know, if you are self-examining, meditating, and praying, you've surrendered. Now, I have to do those things rightly, or the surrender doesn't last very long. I remember calling the AA hotline with the... crossbow thing to my head. The battle between humility and self. Seeking out an answer with the other answer pointing straight at my head. And, you know, I got lucky because it could have easily gone the other way.
Though your dreams be tossed and blown, walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone, and you'll
have a great day. Bye-bye. Still trying to change others? When it comes to courage to change the things I can, and do I remember that my opinions are mine and yours are yours? Am I still afraid to be me? When it comes to wisdom to know the difference, do I remember that my opinions come from my experience? If I have a know-it-all attitude, aren't I being deliberately controversial?
That's fucking awesome right there. And that's it. You know, that's the whole thing. The surrender. It's all about surrendering. That day, accept the things I cannot change. That day, I said, I can't change my dad. Accept the things I cannot change. Am I still trying to change others when it comes to courage to change the things I can? Do I remember that my opinions are mine and yours are yours? Am I still afraid to be me when it comes to wisdom to know the difference? Do I remember that my opinions come from my experience? Wisdom to know the difference. That day, I had the wisdom to know the difference. I had the wisdom to realize that if I did not surrender this shit, I was going to waste the rest of my life in the relationship I was going to have with my parents. I don't know. Listen, if that was a bunch of who shot John, just forgive me. I'm just trying to, you know, just figure it all out. And like I said, remind myself that this is a celebration of my mom's rebirth. My mom was reborn October 28, 2020, to a new life that I don't know what it is, but I know it's better than what she was going through. Have a great day.
I didn't fool you, but I failed you. In short, made a fool out of you. And a younger heart. And our age and our rage. Perhaps I will come.